each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon. This is Mary Hallin Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. And as ever, it is my privilege to be sitting in for Father Anthony on Mondays here on AM 750 WNDZ, the Winds of Change show. And because I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow, anything that has to do with Cardinal Francis George is something of particular interest to me. And so I'm privileged today to have as my guest Mike Stark, who is the producer of a new upcoming documentary on Cardinal George that's going to air on Easter Sunday. So we're going to be talking about that and a little bit about Mike's other work with the Truth and Life Bible series. We are in Lent, and so many of you, of course, are looking for different ways to incorporate more aspects of spirituality into your lives during these 40 days of Lent, more ways to come to know Christ better and to come to be a little closer to Him through prayer and through reading of the Scripture. And so, Mike, welcome. Thank you for being back with us again. You are now you are a formal friend of the show.
Well, thank you for having
me. You've come back a second time. I did not scare you off the first time. Well, Mike, let's start with that then, and then we'll move backwards to the Cardinal George documentary, which I'm really just, I'm thrilled about for so many different reasons. But so, I mean, obviously during Lent,
pay we your have rent
the three.
Lent.
Yes, exactly. You got to do that as well. But you have, of course, the three pillars of Lent, which are fasting, almsgiving, and then increasing our time in prayer. And I think for some people, there's not a sense that when you're reading the Scripture that that's a form of praying, but it is. And you, as the executive producer of the Truth and Life Bible series, have made that so accessible to so many different people. Can you talk a little bit about that project? And then I want you to be able to tell listeners how they can access it, because listeners, if you've not heard any of these readings from Mike's series, you are really missing out on something that can just bring the gospel to life for you. Mike, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, my good friend Carl Amari, who has been in old-time radio his whole life, he hosts the WGN Radio Theater, where he plays the old shows here in Chicago.
The old radio drama shows,
right.
Like the plays and stuff.
The Lone
Those are
Ranger,
great.
Suspense. He had a good suspense on the other night. It was fantastic. So he's on WGN on both Saturday and Sunday night, and it's their number one rated show.
Wow. No kidding.
He kills it. I mean, he's got so many listeners, and WGN goes all over the country. So he's got people calling in from Texas and Florida, and they just love listening to these old shows. And he's been doing this since he was in high school. He's kind of like an old radio nerd who I met playing baseball. He's a fantastic baseball player as well. But he just knows this backwards and forwards. He's even written a book on it with the greatest, 100 greatest radio shows of all time. So he's done that. And he was involved with a movie. We got involved with a movie called Madison back in the early 2000s. And he had an unknown actor at the time who had just done a movie called Frequency. Interestingly, we're doing a radio show and it's called Frequency. But Jim Caviezel ended up playing the lead role. And Carl became very close. And that's a movie I'd recommend people watch. It's a good family movie. It's a true story about boat racing in the 70s, how this small town, Madison, Indiana, down on the river, down south Indiana, actually went up against these big behemoth race teams like Team Budweiser and some of these heavily sponsored,
right,
against the small town. And so it's called Madison, and Jim Caviezel plays the lead, and he did a great job with that. But he became good friends with Jim, who invited him over to Rome to watch the filming of that small movie he did with Mel Gibson.
Right.
In that funny language that
I didn't
think
The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, that one.
Don't be cryptic for those of our listeners who may not be familiar.
Yeah, it was fantastic, obviously. And he was over there, and while he was over there, they came up with an idea to create an audio Bible, which we produced called The Truth in Life. And we've got the voices of Stacy Keach, and most of our listeners probably know this, but Stacy Keach, Kristen Bell is Mary Magdalene, Neil McDonough is Jesus, Brian Cox is the voice of God, Michael York. It's fantastic, and you can listen to it. And for Lent, Father McElhone from our own Archdiocese of Chicago, who Cardinal George called the most knowledgeable biblical scholar alive, he created a Lenten program where you read two chapters, or in this case, listen to two chapters a day, and you can read or listen. But basically, I get up every morning and just press play, and it plays two chapters. And if you spend 10 to 15 minutes a day reading two chapters, you'll have read all four Gospels by Easter Sunday. And the cool thing about that is if you've given up, let's say, given up junk food or chocolate or whatever it is you gave up, and then you forget and you grab a Hershey bar or whatever, then all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'll do a better job next year. That's not how it works here. If you forgot to read, you owe me 20 to 30 minutes the next day.
Okay.
You can always catch up, because the point is to know God better.
Right.
And you can always, as you said, you hit it on the head, you can give up things, but really God wants you to know him better. I mean,
right.
And we don't, unless you go to daily mass, we don't hear all the stories of, like, this year we're in Mark's gospel. But
right. This
way, and it starts with Mark. So you can download it at www.downloadjesus.com, and you actually get Mark's audio gospel for free. The app also has notes, the Ignatius Study Bible done by Dr. Scott Hahn, he's not too shabby of a biblical scholar himself.
No, of course not. I think many would be. So listeners, for those of you who are not familiar with Dr. Scott Hahn, he is a convert from the Protestant faith to the Catholic faith, and did that after a great internal struggle and really at almost complete ostracization from his family and his wife's father. So his father-in-law was very, very prominent Protestant pastor in Ohio, and so for his son-in-law to convert to Catholicism, which they really believed was a false religion, was a huge, just sort of earth-shattering moment for the family. But he felt he could not in conscience remain a Protestant after he had studied the Catholic faith and come to believe that it was true. So anyway, he is now a scripture scholar and very, very much acclaimed, and has done the notes for your series.
Right. Well, keep in mind that he was at Marquette University and he was studying Catholicism so he could rebut it.
Correct.
Refute it.
Right.
Rebut it.
Rebut it and
rebut
refute
and
it.
Rebut and refute. Put those two words together.
Disagree with it.
Just made
right.
a word up. But that's exactly it. And so he, of course, has done this, and his wife, Kimberly, has written many books now. And in fact, there's a conference coming up this April. Guy Murphy does a conference. It'll be at St. Charles in April called Totally Yours. It'll be at Pheasant Run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's April 11th, but you can look it up. But both Scott and Kimberly Hahn are speaking at this conference.
Oh, that's fantastic,
so
yeah.
If you're free April 11th, I know that's a long way off, but...
yeah, and his wife, Kimberly Hahn, I must say I'm, of course, very much enamored of Scott Hahn's conversion story. And there's an audio tape out there if, you know, people are interested, if you've never heard this, where he gives a talk where he talks about his conversion to Catholicism. And but his wife's subsequent conversion is, to me, and maybe this is just, you know, as a wife myself and a woman myself, I find her testimony, her personal witness, even more compelling, if that's possible. Because, again, you know, she was the daughter, extremely, it's almost kind of like Billy Graham's daughter converting to Catholicism, if I could make an analogy. Her father was this incredibly prominent Protestant pastor. And she herself, I remember, you know, when he came and told her he was going to enter the church, which she had been dreading, and she had sensed he was going there because he kept talking to her about things like the church fathers and about the Eucharistic discourse in the Gospel of John and how do we as Protestants work around that and how do we explain it. So she wasn't completely stunned that he decided to convert, but she said she left the house. She kind of packed a little bag and she got about three blocks away. Because she said, I simply could not stay married to a man who was a Catholic. I mean, she said, you know, when we were dating, I mean, she said, I wouldn't have dated a Protestant pardon me. I wouldn't have dated someone who was not a Protestant, and I certainly wouldn't have dated a Catholic ever, and now I was married to one. So she left, and then she said, you know, I got about 3 blocks away with my little suitcase. It was like a kid running away from home. And I realized I knew that God hated divorce, and I knew that God was going to hold me accountable for the promise I made to him that I would stay married to this man forever, you know. So she said, you know, I thought, okay, maybe I'll get him back, we'll convert him back. And so she went back home, but she came very close to leaving him. And then, you know, I won't give it away, listeners, but Kimberly Hahn's conversion story is something that I think you would want to listen to yourself, especially if you're married to someone who you don't agree with on, you know, your own personal, you know, religious background or formation or whatever, and you have some questions. This is a really good way to see how another couple resolved that kind of conflict within their marriage.
Yeah, well, she'll probably be giving that story at the Total Ears Conference
in
April.
Yeah, so that's true. So that, again, was where, if listeners want to go and hear them in person, and they don't come to the Chicago area very often, listeners, so it's a great opportunity to see them.
See them both. I mean, a lot of times you'll just see one. Scott spoke in there before. Scott was up at the Men of Christ, which we'll talk about a little bit later. He was there last year, but it was just Scott. To get the two of them together is a blessing. And this is called the Totally Yours Conference, hosted by Guy Murphy, and that'll be at Pheasant Run this April. I believe it's April 11th at the Pheasant Run Resort out in St. Charles. But Guy does two conferences a year, one in the fall and one like November, early November, and then one in April.
You know, and they're excellent. If you're just looking for like a little spiritual booster shot and you don't have time to go away on a big long retreat or whatever, you can go for part of the day, you can go for the whole day, but it's really, you really come back just with so much inspiration, but also information along with the inspiration. You learn a lot about your faith you might not know. I mean, Guy really does a great job of bringing in terrific speakers who can really just are so edifying. I feel like anytime I go, I always bring something away that maybe I didn't know or I didn't understand completely.
Well, he calls it a pilgrimage, you know, even though it's a conference.
Right.
You know, for instance, last November, he had Kevin Matthews from the loop.
He's been a guest on this show. Yeah. I've had him here on this show. Listeners, he is a former, very well-known DJ in the Chicago area, was on WLUP, which was probably, you know, the most widely listened to radio show in the Midwest, certainly in the Chicago area. And he had millions, 5 million listeners a week, I think is what he told me, 5 to 10 million listeners a week. And
top-rated show in Chicago for years.
Yep. And so you wouldn't kind of put that particular personality together, especially when you consider. So if you've ever been to a wedding or a concert and in the middle of it, somebody yells out, "Freebird, play Freebird." That was Kevin Matthews. That was his idea to have people shout out Freebird at particular concerts. And now it's sort of a worldwide phenomenon, but he was the one who thought it up. He told his listeners, I can't remember what it was, to go to a particular concert and yell Freebird to the band. And so now that's become...
It might have been Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Since it was
their song.
No, it wasn't. That was the joke. Right. It wasn't because he would have people go to random concerts and tell the band to play Freebird. And he was even telling me that Bruce Springsteen, so many people would do this at concerts, that Bruce Springsteen and his band came up with a little riff to do anytime anybody yelled out Freebird. So that's Kevin Matthews, had a complete reversion. He was never really away from the church. He never really didn't have a relationship with Christ, but it certainly wasn't
permitted. It wasn't permitted on the air. I mean,
he
had it, and he did one character, Darnell, who was supposedly a space alien. And he would do that, and he would bring a little bit of baby Jesus into it. But he wasn't really allowed to do it. And somebody asked him, Kevin, and he's written this book called Broken Mary, which I have to mention that. I just talked to him this morning. He's coming into town tomorrow, I think. We're going to hang out. He's coming into town to speak on the 4th here in Chicago. Actually, he's going to be, I should look that up. I'll look at it after the break, and I'll let you guys know where that is. But he's coming in to Chicago to speak Sunday, March 4th, at a church.
Oh, fantastic.
In the western suburbs. So
fantastic.
I'll let you know. But he's got the Broken Mary. But somebody asked him, when did you convert? And when did you start loving Jesus? And he said, probably when I was about 4 years old. But again, in this secular media, he wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Well, and I don't think he was entirely practicing either. I know his wife was very much, but he was kind of, you know, he talks in his book, Broken Mary, which I read, readers can't recommend that highly enough.
Great book.
fantastic book. I mean, he talks about, you know, some of the things he did, like these golf fundraisers where you would have, you know, topless girls washing the golf balls.
And he got kicked out at 10 tournaments.
10, right. So he had, you know, he sowed his wild oats. And so...
St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Pray
but,
for us.
Well, I don't think he was quite that far gone, but, you know, this was hardly a daily communicant either. So the fact that he has so vigorously come back to the church and now, I think, is one of the greatest kind of Catholic apologists and explainers and promoters of the rosary. It's really, it's beautiful how he's let God use him in that way. So, well, we're going to go to a break, Mike, and then we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about this upcoming documentary about Cardinal Francis George, the Archbishop of Chicago, who passed away just about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mary Fiorito. I'm joined today by Mike Stark of the Truth and Life Bible Series. We're here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Don't go away.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
All ready?
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Thank you for joining us and sharing your lunch hour with us today. I'm joined today by Mike Stark, who is the executive producer of the Truth and Life Bible Series, which if you're looking for something to do during Advent and you want to really try to take some time to sit with the Gospels, but you don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and read, then the Truth and Life audio app is really the answer to your prayers. As Mike was telling us in the first quarter of the show here, you have the gospel read by incredible actors, Stacy Keach. Mike, tell me who else again was do you have featured? I know you had Stacy Keach as one of them.
Well, Stacy Keach is John,
right.
Sean Astin, Michael
right.
York, and Blair Underwood is St. Mark.
Uh-huh.
Then you've got Kristen Bell as Mary Magdalene, Julia Ormond as Mother Mary, Brian Cox is the voice of God, Neil McDonough.
Right.
Fantastic actor, plays Jesus, and when I die, I hopefully get to heaven, at least if I can get a glimpse of Jesus, I'm thinking I'm going to see Neil McDonough because I've heard it for so long. His voice is just,
right.
He's so passionate. He's such a good Catholic. He's so passionate. The way we hired him was.
So it's really a dream team that
he,
you
well,
have
Well, this
here.
Guy got fired from a network TV show. Of course, it was national, because he refused to do love scenes. Mm-hmm. And he got fired. And
explicit then, ones at any point.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm Catholic. I'm married. I love my wife. I'm not going to do this. So he lost millions of dollars for that. And he'd been in Band of Brothers, Captain America. He's done a lot of good stuff if you don't know who he is. But he's really a respectable Hollywood person. You know, we've got the divided, not divided out there, but he's fantastic. And we got him right away. He got back to us immediately. And, you know, sometimes you have to deal through the agents and everything else. But he was literally back to Carl in like a half hour.
Wow,
saying,
that's fantastic.
I'll never have a better role, even though I won't be visible, than playing our Lord and Savior. So that's an idea. And basically, like, we were, you know, kind of all over the place, as our conversations tend to do once in a while. But so it's got the study Bible. It's got all that. And you can download it. And then the you go into the playlist, and you've got the Gospels during Lent. And I'm halfway through Luke right now.
Do you have a favorite of all the, I know it's like asking a mother to pick her favorite child, right? But do you have a particular gospel passage you're reading?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good. Oh, I'm surprised at that, but I thought
Matthew,
you were going to tell
Matthew
me no.
Matthew 4:24, no prophet is acceptable in his own town, because I had the opportunity when this came out, your boss, the person who we're going to talk about mostly on this
right.
show, Cardinal George, said to me, I'll do whatever I can to help you get this out, because I think everybody should have it.
Right.
So he wrote a letter to all the bishops, all the members of USCCB, all the priests in Chicago. And this was in 2010. He actually wrote the letter on his 75th birthday, and I have it framed in my house, but that's the same day he sent his resignation letter to
the Holy Father,
yes. Pope Benedict.
Right.
But he let everybody know, and I was invited to all the vicariates except one, which was Vicariate 1, which was my former pastor, Bishop
yeah.
George Rassus.
Prophets never welcome in
and
their own
he's like,
country,
oh, yes, Michael.
Are they?
You know,
my
he'd be
goodness.
Like, well, hello, Michael. I know you did this, but we don't normally have lay people come to our vicariate meetings.
Right.
And how's my imitation? So anyway.
Right. No,
like,
that's not bad. He confirmed my daughter. So I have to say that's,
yes.
a, well, that is a, that's quite a good imitation of him.
So I didn't go there. And, you know, sometimes the folks up in Lake Forest, which is where I'm from, by way of the Catholic Charities, I was adopted out of St. Vincent's Orphanage here in Chicago, so I'm very grateful to the Catholic Church and to God for putting me in a wonderful home up in Lake Forest. But it just kind of went by the boards, whereas Bishop Rojas has been like, I've been down there a couple times, and Bishop Perry, I mean, basically everybody's had me at least once to their vicarians, like, hey, this is something everybody has
right.
to have. And up in Wisconsin, Archbishop Listecki has been like, hey, whatever I can do for you, Mike, you know.
Well, you know what I love about it, Mike, is that it's so accessible to everyone. And by that, I mean, you know, it's, first of all, it's they're just beautiful renditions
but
of the gospel.
It's free,
that
too, the
it's
beginning
free.
Of it.
So I want you to talk a little bit about that. How do, you know, because, if, for example, if I go on Audible and I want to download the entire Bible, that's going to cost me $40 easily, depending on the version, you know, that
right.
I want to download. Tell our listeners a little bit about, first of all, I know you can get the entire Gospel of Mark for free, which is fantastic. But then if they want to do more than that, they want to have the entire Bible and they want to
well,
have
just
those.
The New Testament.
It's just a New
we haven't
Testament.
We've made the
Pardon
Old
me.
Testament.
Right.
We're still looking for money for that.
So, okay.
And I'm
so
not begging.
If you're a billionaire out there, or you know someone who is, who would want to fund the that
I'm talking
project.
About Knights of Columbus right now
right. Very
and,
good.
On the East Coast. So they're talking to me about it. But it's been, we've had this out now for 7 years. So biblically speaking, it's been 7 years.
Okay.
You get Mark's Gospel for free, and you can play around in the Ignatius Study Bible for free in Mark. You can buy the additional 20 hours of audio. There's 22 hours of audio for the New Testament for $20. Or you can buy the Ignatius Study Bible, which has content in the Old Testament as well. It's not all done. Dr. Hahn's not done. But as he adds stuff, it's just added in, you know, no additional charge. But you can get that for $20. You can get them both together for $30, one-time charge for life.
Right.
On up to 7 devices. So it's
$30.
You're done.
Up on 7 different devices. So you
right.
can, so you, I could purchase
audio
it and
Bible
put it
and
on my
study
kids.
Bible.
And
right.
I could share it with my
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, you can share
okay.
it with whoever. It's just on that email address. So
okay.
you can, there's no system to beat, but I mean, honestly,
right.
we want people to have the.
No, you want, yeah, you want
to
make
And then as we raise
this,
the money,
right.
we'll get around to doing an Old Testament, but that's a considerable sum, and I would never ask anyone for it, and I'm not going to, because we want to have complete control over this, and we want
okay.
to make sure we do it right, just like we did this.
Right.
And it hasn't been a big moneymaker, but it's been, like you and I were talking before the show already, the gospel that I posted on Facebook yesterday's gospel.
Sunday's gospel, right.
It's got over 9,000 views.
Isn't that terrific?
And I joke yeah. with my best friend, Father Mike Grezik, and I say, because you know, we always talk, he says, well, you should be a priest. I'm like, no, I shouldn't be a priest. There's no way I should. You're laughing because you know I shouldn't be.
No, well.
But sometimes he says, well, you think you could be. I'm like, no, I couldn't be. I'm not worthy of that. But I do what I do. And I say, look, how many people did you reach this week?
Yeah.
Well, we only have about 1,200 people. Okay, fine. Well, like last week I reached like 6,000, but this week I got over 9, and it's Monday morning, so.
Right. No, it's incredible.
It's just easy to share.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people complain about things like Facebook and Twitter, but you know, Facebook and Twitter can also be incredible venues and opportunities for evangelization, for sharing
yep.
things. And, you know, the number of times I've heard people say, like, for example, they were in a very down or depressed mood, or they were anxious about something, or they had just received very tragic news, and they've clicked on a link like that and heard the gospel for the day that completely transforms the moment that they're in into something different, because they're feeling Christ's presence, Christ speaking to them through those scriptures. And so for example, I'm driving to work every day, and I have tried to make this personal promise for Lent that I will, you know, read or listen to scripture. I can just leave, you know.
Don't read while you're driving there.
Well, right. See, again, that would be against the law. So you have made it possible for me to keep my Lenten promise and not get arrested. So we can do how? Like, how do you, you just kind of keep it on your phone and then you just click it and it'll...
It's also an excuse buster for those people who say, I don't have time for God during the week or whatever.
Right.
You know, the people that they're at least they're going on during the week, but they are on Sunday, but... you put it on your phone and you can listen to it, or there are CDs. I mean, they don't even make CD players anymore in the new cars. Father Grezik just got a new car. It doesn't even have a CD player. But you can connect it via Bluetooth to your phone. So you download it into your phone, and you can listen to it. And it's a great way to pass the time sitting in traffic. It puts you in a better mood if somebody cuts you off.
You're right.
More likely to bless them or smile.
So just tell
away.
Me, as, you know, I'm, as you well know, I'm not a techie person. But tell me, for example, if... I know that I can click on the particular button because I have this is the one I have on my phone and listen to the
right.
gospel for the day. But say I want to listen to the entire gospel of Mark. I don't want to hear it all chopped up. How do I go about doing that while using your app?
Well, you just go to Mark. At the top of the page, you'll see a choice of, you'll see some things at the top of the page. It'll say Mark 1:1, or let's just say it says Genesis 1:1. You tap on the name Genesis, and then all of a sudden it gives you a scroll down of boxes. Each box contains a name of a book. And you go book, chapter, verse, and it takes you right where you want to go.
Wow.
You press play, and it just goes until you press pause. Although, if you want to listen to it when you're going to sleep at night, it's got a sleep timer, so you don't ruin your battery while you're sleeping,
right.
fall asleep to it. I did that the other morning because I woke up to listen to my two chapters, and I was like 16 chapters in. I'm like, oh, man, how much did I not hear? You know, maybe it went in subliminally, but I just said, okay, I got to start over. But it has that, and it's got a lot of good uses. It's got a... The guy who got me to do Facebook in the first place was Father Barron, and I was like, no way,
right.
I'm too
now,
old for
now
that.
Bishop Bob Barron.
Right.
Listener, yeah, who
and,
of course uses himself, uses social media. And,
he uses this, and
right.
Truth in Life is actually, he's in it. Like,
mm-hmm.
he was the first person we added to it. He's like, oh, Mike, you think you could put something in your app? Because I didn't know what the apps were.
Right.
You know? And he's like, you think you could find room for Word on Fire? I'm like, I suppose so.
Oh, so is Word on Fire on your app as well?
Oh, all his homilies. His homily for Sunday will be up on Thursday. Yeah, he was the first person we had. We got Father McElhone's Word Made Clear. That's
my
in there.
My goodness.
So he
well, I know you had mentioned Father McElhone.
Mac's in there, but
yeah.
Bishop Bob's in there. Word
my
on Fire's
goodness.
In there. It's got the Catholic, it's got all kinds of stuff. It's got EWTN, so you can watch or listen to EWTN. Catholic News Agency's in there. And it's available in Spanish, of course, as well. It's not dramatized, but we got the whole New Testament in Espanol, so people can listen. And that's
wow,
just a click of
goodness.
A button. So that's in there. We've got the Stations of the Cross. We just added Kevin Matthews' Rosary. And I'm working right now with Maria Vargo. Well, I've got it from her already. We're going to put in the Divine Mercy Prayer because, she played Faustina for so many years.
Right.
And so we're going to add that as well. So basically, we're trying to be everything in one place, like a Catholic toolbox. So that you have one place to go. Now, I don't say don't use Laudate. Laudate is fantastic. There are other apps that are out there. I'm not competing with anyone. We're all on the same team working for God. And so my objective is to give people what they don't have. And I didn't think there was a good, I've heard some Divine Mercy prayers and I didn't like them. And I thought, why not get Faustina herself to do it? So she did an amazing job. So that's in there. And that's it on the Bible. I think we've got a lot to cover here.
Right,
so
right, right. No, we
go
need
to
get to
DownloadJesus.com.
Yeah. So again, if you're stranded on a desert island, and you need to have one thing with you to keep your spiritual.
Well, you need Wi-Fi on that.
You need Wi-Fi on the island. But if you had the
Gilligan's
Wi-Fi,
island
this is my theoretical
Wi-Fi.
Island. Do not mess up my theoretical island, sir. So anyway, no, seriously, you would certainly. This is your one-stop shopping for scriptural commentary, Bishop Barron's homilies, and the gospel itself read by some of Hollywood's finest actors and actresses. Okay, so thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for all the work that you and your team did to produce it, and thank you for making it so incredibly affordable and accessible so many people can come to know and love the Lord better. That is a great, great gift that you've given to the church, Mike, through that. So sincerely, I thank you for
that.
Thank
you,
Mary. But the next gift that you are giving to the church— is
well, let me circle back on Kevin
yes,
Matthews
please.
Really
oh,
quick.
Oh, yeah, please do.
He's going to be this Sunday, March 4th, at St. Juliana Church. That's 7200 North Osceola in Chicago. So look it up because Kevin posted this. But I don't know what time. I think it's in the afternoon or the evening. Yeah, but he's going to be, it's a free event. All are welcome. And he's going to talk about his radio career, Broken Mary and all of that stuff. So I did want to let people know that Kevin Matthews, right.
That's good.
It's March 4th, this Saturday.
This Sunday.
Sunday, pardon me, at St. Juliana's.
Yes.
On the North Chicago's Northwest Side.
Yes, ma'am.
And for those, if you were a Kev Head yourself, or you know a Kev Head.
Or you'd like to be.
Or you'd like to become one. It's not too late.
That's good.
You know, I'm sure he would be happy to take anyone at any time. So, please do
now
spread the word.
Now more than ever, really, because he's got a message.
Right, and there's no charge to attend that, correct? Okay, that's really good to know. And my brother Peter, if you're listening, so he doesn't live far from there, and he was a Kev Head. So please make sure that you're there to show not only your support for Kevin and his good work now, but also I think it's a great Lenten thing to do. It's a little spiritual exercise. Okay, so on to your next project, your newest project, which is something very close to my heart, which is a documentary that you are producing on the life and the legacy of Cardinal Francis George.
Yeah.
So where does one start with someone who was, this is like doing a documentary on Churchill in many ways, because there's so much you can do and start with. What inspired you, first of all, to take this project under? Because this is no insignificant task.
My love for him and the man that he was, what he meant to me, like I'd said earlier, what he did to help me, because he didn't know me. I mean, he's got so many people throwing stuff at him, and when we first had the Truth in Life Bible back in November of 2009, we literally had just come out, and he was visiting our church, St. Mary's, up in Lake Forest. And so I brought him a set of the CDs, because that's all we had at that point, and handed it to him in a greeting line. And I just thought, whatever, I'm going to give it to him. I won't. You know, whatever. I'm going to give it to him. We'll see where it goes from there. And that was pretty much it. I just thought, I'm going to give this gift to the Cardinal. And then he responded to me. But, he responded by, listening to it and everything else. Then I went to the convocation out in St. Charles, same place Guy Murphy's going to be in April.
Right.
And I was, I played golf with Father Barron. We were going to play golf in the morning. And we were walking down the hall, and here comes Cardinal George and Father Dan Flens down the hallway. And Bishop Barron, Father Barron says, "Hey, Mike, you want me to introduce you to Cardinal?" I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be great." I gave him a Bible, but I'm sure he doesn't know me. So he starts to introduce me to him. He says, "Your Eminence, I'd like to introduce you to Mike." He says, "I know Mike Stark. I love that audio Bible you gave me."
Wow.
He said, "I want to invite you to participate in the convocation as one of us for the whole conference."
Oh, my goodness.
So we did that, and he said, "What can I do to help you?" and this and that. And it took off from there, but he remembered me, and he'd met me once.
Wow.
In a line of like 100 people, and everyone, you know how those lines
are. Yes. Oh, no. But he had, that was one of Cardinal George's, I think, his great gifts, is he had an almost photographic memory. Right. And once he knew who you were remembered you, yeah. that's really incredible. Well, we're going to go to another quick break, Mike, but when
I knew
we
that
come
was
back,
coming.
I know, but you've put out enough information there to, I think, keep listeners hooked in. Please don't go away. When we come back, Mike Stark is going to continue to tell us a little bit more about this incredible documentary that has taken him, I know, many, many months to put together on Cardinal George. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Pope John Paul II once said, "Humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him. I am Father Thomas Lawyer with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined this hour by Mike Stark, who is the producer of an upcoming documentary on Cardinal Francis George that is going to air on Easter Sunday. Is that correct, Mike? So April Fool's Day this year. Yes.
There's no fooling.
This is not
no
a joke.
It's true, though. Yes, that is the date.
So you were telling us a little bit about how you came to know Cardinal George, and you were starting to explain to the listeners why it was you decided to undertake a documentary on it.
Well, what happened was I know through this project that I've been working on the Bible, I know a lot of people, but, you know, Cardinal George opened a lot of doors to me and basically connected me with all the right people to, you know, get this Bible in the right people's hands. But obviously I've met a lot of people, and I'm working with the wonderful people at Shalom World Television. And I interviewed Scott Hahn up at the Men of Christ Conference, which, by the way, is a week from Saturday. It's March 10th up in Milwaukee, but we'll circle back on that. So I interviewed, Shalom World has asked me to do some television programming for them. So I did a documentary on the Little Sisters of the Poor out here in Palatine, and we had a fun show, and they're like, would you do a show on Cardinal George, since you know a lot of the people,
right,
like you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I would love to. It'd be my honor to create this documentary on him. And I get a little carried away with things. So far, I've got 27 people that I've interviewed.
Right. Myself included.
But you.
And in the interest of full disclosure, for those of you who are not aware, I had the great privilege of serving as Cardinal Francis George's executive assistant for 12 years, up until the time of his death. And prior to that was the vice chancellor in his chancery department. So I got to know him on many different levels, and considered him not only a boss, but also sort of a mentor and a friend and a father in many ways. And he married my husband and I and baptized two of our children. And so, you know, his loss was a very personal thing for me in many different ways. But I was certainly not among solo in feeling that, because so many people felt likewise. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a secular radio show host here in Chicago, Dan Proft, who hosts a morning drive time talk show on the local Fox affiliate. And he was commenting on the beautiful outpouring of support and love for Commander Paul Bauer's family during the time of his funeral. And he was saying, the last time I can remember the city coming together like that for a funeral was when Cardinal George passed away. It unified the entire city because there was such love for him. And I think there was such love for him because he was such a genuine human being. And so now I think this is so wonderful and so timely that you are going to be doing this great tribute to him. Tell me a little bit about some of the people. You were granted incredible access to people who might not normally give an interview, Mike. Tell me if
it started with you and with Colleen Dolan.
Right, who was his communications director.
And, then I, of course, called Dan Flens, Father Dan Flens.
Who was his priest secretary.
And who is now over at St. Joe's.
Correct.
So he went from working with, like he said, I went with from the senior center to the kindergarten, because now he's working with a bunch of junior seminarians
at
Loyola. Through Colleen, I connected with his sister, who is just an amazing woman. I got on the phone with her, and we talked for hours.
Yeah, George's sister, Margaret, the Cardinal's parents only had two children. There was Margaret and then the Cardinal, and they're 12 years apart. So there's quite an age difference between the two of them, but because there was only the two of them, they're incredibly close.
To hear her tell the story, it was an honor. We went to her house. She had lunch for us. She invited me and the whole crew. And Kevin Matthews went along with us as well, because he's over there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So Kevin wanted to meet her. And he says the Cardinal knew who I was, but I think he would ask me to come to confession if I were in his presence. But anyway, so we interviewed Margaret, and I've been very in touch with her. And her and Colleen and Dan Flens, Father Dan, basically are kind of charged with his legacy, as Colleen reminds me over and over again, that, you know, the story that needs to be told has to be correct. And just some of the people that I've interviewed, Christmas time, I was feeding the poor over at Catholic Charities, and Joan Lewis was there from EWTN's Joan's Rome. She was very good friends with Cardinal George whenever Cardinal would come to Rome. So she happened to be there. It's like the Holy Spirit starts putting these people in front of me.
Or Cardinal
And we
George.
Just had one day to interview Joan, so we had Joan Lewis. And I got Cardinal Dolan to stop eating popcorn for a minute to do an interview, because when he started his interview, he was eating popcorn. He offered everyone popcorn. But then he told a wonderful story about Cardinal George. He said, you know, my questions are usually, tell me how you met him and give me your impression of him and this and that, and tell me a whimsical story about him. And he says, well, one time he was over in Rome at the U.S. Pontifical University over there in Rome, and the cardinals had been there for a meeting with the Pope, and Cardinal George had left. And he called him troubled, and he says, he seemed really troubled. And he says, I left something behind. Would you find it for me? And Cardinal Father Monsignor Dolan at the time said he looked for what he was looking for, but he said he seemed so troubled. I wondered what he'd left behind. Was it a breviary, or was it a rosary or something like that? It turned out to be a laundry bag, like a green laundry bag that Margaret says she's washed many times.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I can't sleep if I don't know where it is. It might just be a laundry bag to most people, but I've had this with me for 50 years, and it's traveled the world with me, and it's very important to me.
Right.
And Cardinal Dolan just said, that just tells you the kind of man he was. He was just a meat and potatoes guy.
Yep.
That he cared so much for something as little, as small as a laundry bag. So did Cardinal Dolan. I got Archbishop Gustavo down in San Antonio, because he also was a person that, what is the word I'm looking for? I'm on radio, so now.
Okay, well, tell me what.
He was a missionary.
Oh yes, right.
Hello.
Hello. Right.
Sometimes you have a brain lapse, and that was it. So, he was a missionary. So Archbishop Gustavo told some wonderful stories about Cardinal George. Then I got Bishop Barron, of course. I got Bishop Tom Papracki. I did you. I did Bears owner Pat McCaskey, who had some funny stories. We started with Jay Levine over at Holy Name Cathedral, and Father Bill Westman, who's 93 years old.
My goodness,
was in the seminary, he's a OMI, Oblate of Mary, and he was there when Cardinal George first came into that order and ended up following him around the world as Cardinal George was appointed all these different positions like Vicar General and whatnot in the Oblates. And Cardinal George was the number one guy. This guy was the number two guy, and he was fantastic. So we did him. Then we did Greg Sackowitz, Father Greg, who is the rector over at Holy Name Cathedral, who has done radio shows with him, Graziano Marchesi.
Right.
Or Marcheschi, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. He'll tell me about it. And let's see, who else did we get? It just
Bishop
never,
Thomas Papracki?
I did
I
say
know.
Tom.
Oh, yeah, you did
I
mention him,
Bishop
okay.
Papracki. I had Archbishop Listecki, but we lost the tape somehow, so I'm going up Wednesday.
Okay, how did that
He's like,
happen?
How'd you lose it? It was a great interview. I'm he was the first, and he'll be the last, because I'm interviewing him on Wednesday, and we're done with it, basically. And then I have his barber, who he was very close with, and I said, well, what kind of a haircut does Cardinal George get?
Right.
Take a little off the top? I mean, he didn't have much to cut.
That's right.
He kept him neat and clean. And, you know, just some other people, obviously a large group of people that we interviewed. I interviewed Michael Heinlein, who is writing his biography.
Mm-hmm. I know Michael.
And
very
Michael, I tell you, I thought I was talking to the Cardinal when I was talking to him. He's just so bright. He's a young guy. He writes for our Sunday Visitor.
Yep.
And he just knows so much about him.
Mm-hmm.
So we interviewed him as well as Michael Wick, who was the director of the Institute on Religious Life. He's now Bishop Hying's right-hand man down in Gary, Indiana. So I got Mike Wick. I did Dennis McNamara, Dr. Dennis McNamara from the Liturgical Institute.
Okay.
So
boy, you really got a wide cross-section of secular people. I mean, everybody from Jay Levine to 90-year-old bishop, to the cardinal's sister, to people like me.
Bishop Getter, let's not forget Bishop Getter, and the nuns.
And the sisters,
at the
residence.
The
sisters of St. Albert, the Albertine sisters, who were the cardinal's housekeepers and his cooks, and, you know, were very close to him. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And while I was at the residence, Archbishop Kurtz just wandered in, literally, while we were doing the interview.
So isn't Archbishop that providential?
Kurtz, so he came in, and he was treasurer when Cardinal George was the president. And then, of course, Kurtz just stepped down. Archbishop Kurtz just stepped down as the president in November. So he basically was able to tell me what he learned from him. And he said, I was just a big fan of him. But the fact that he wandered in while we were interviewing Dan Flans, and he says, well, you've got the right guy in the chair.
Right.
Nobody knows more about him than Father Dan. So I said, would you give me a minute? And he said, absolutely. I'd love to. So we did that, and then I interviewed Sheriff Mark Kern, Lake County Sheriff, who we wanted to talk about Cardinal George's prison ministry. We really didn't want to leave a stone unturned.
And it's incredible. Because
we went to his house. We went to St. Paschal's. We were in St. Paschal's. We were in the Meyer Center. We did Bishop Perry. And with Bishop Perry, we talked about Augustus Tolton.
Excellent.
Because Cardinal put Bishop Perry in charge of his canonization. I'm just trying to think who we didn't get.
Very few. Other than perhaps Pope Francis or Pope Benedict, I think you've pretty much gotten everyone.
Well, John Paul would have been good to get too, but we'll have to wait.
Right. Well, yes, they're talking to each other now, I'm sure, anyway. But, this is really, I mean, it's a mammoth undertaking to try to take a life that was, so incredibly expansive. I mean, from a man who went from being the vicar general of a missionary order living in Rome to being a bishop in a tiny diocese on the West Coast to being the Archbishop of Chicago, who spoke five languages fluently, who just traveled and knew the world. And to try to encapsulate that life in an hour, I won't allow it.
They're trying to squeeze it into an hour. And I'm having this argument with the folks right now about that. They're like, well, we have to make it an hour. I'm like, called the glorious life. I'm like, you don't put a box around him. And I've been fighting with them a long time on this.
Right.
With 27 or 28 interviews, I'm also going to be interviewing Deacon Bob Thomas, who was up at St. Mary's, but he runs the community house in Winnetka. And he had stage 4 bladder cancer. Mm. And he was close with Cardinal George, and Cardinal George was praying for him. Now he's completely healthy.
Wow.
So tell me there's not some intercession going on there.
And I'll tell you, I have a very good story of intercession I'll share with you, too, when we get back. But right now, we're going to take our final break. Listeners, please don't go away. We're going to hear a little bit more about this incredible documentary that Mike Stark has produced and is in the final, stages of finalizing it, in the final stages of finalizing it.
That's redundant.
Yeah, there you go. This is going to air on Easter Sunday. It's going to be an incredible show. Don't go away. When we come back, we'll get Mike's final thoughts and about how this is all going to come together. And I want to hear from you, Mike, about what most surprised you when you interviewed the 27 different people who knew the Cardinal well, and what kind of theme you found running through all the interviews. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And we are today just having the incredible opportunity to talk to the producer of a new documentary on Cardinal George, Cardinal Francis George, the Archbishop of Chicago, who died about 3 years ago this April, and it's going to air on Easter Sunday. Do you have a working title yet, Mike, for the documentary?
I think we'll call it Cardinal Francis George, Your Neighbor.
Okay, Francis, Your Neighbor. Yes, that's beautiful.
Or I also like...
An allusion to the homily when he was installed as Archbishop of Chicago. He had the gospel passage of I'm Joseph, your brother, from the Old Testament read, and he got up and talked about himself as I'm Francis, your neighbor, because Chicago is a city of neighborhoods. It was a beautiful analogy he drew.
I also like, I like calling it priest, missionary, neighbor. That might be the other one. I mean,
yeah,
we haven't finalized it yet.
Too.
I like to incorporate the neighbor. But he was a priest, he was a missionary, and he was a neighbor. And a priest encompasses cardinal or archbishop or bishop, so kind of covers all the ground that needs to be covered. And plus, he was so humble that he would, and his sister and you and Colleen have all said, no, he'd be happy that I'm doing it. Because I would think he'd be like, oh, don't waste your time doing something
on
me.
Well, he didn't draw attention to himself.
No.
That's, he did not have an ego like he
not
was.
Not at all.
Not narcissistic. He never, if he wanted attention drawn to himself, it would be to draw attention to Christ in the church. And so that's why he would allow himself to be used in that way. And he would be very grateful that you were trying to show the way in which the princes of the church serve the church. I think he would be very happy with that. I think you're right, Mike.
My objective of this piece to, from the start, from the get-go, is for his canonization in my lifetime.
Hmm.
John Paul canonized 482 people in his lifetime as pope, which was more than 500 years of popes, basically.
My goodness, yeah.
So he basically did it in a short time, and hopefully he'll be canonized in our lifetime. And basically the objective of the show is to show the human, the kind side. Colleen said it best, Colleen Dolan, who was his director of communications and his personal assistant as well when it came to marketing. And you could see him on TV, and they always were interviewing him during times of trouble, whether they're shutting down a church or maybe the cathedral was on fire,
mm-hmm.
or maybe
mm-hmm.
it was dealing with some controversy in the church. He had to deal with the issue with the scandal, which tore him apart. And he wasn't addressed. A lot of this stuff was not presented to him in an honest way, so he really didn't know about it, but
mm-hmm.
he took the blame for it anyway because that was his position.
Right.
So the point is, Colleen said it like this, you're outside in a Chicago cold winter day, and you come inside to a nice blazing fire in the fireplace. You get up by the fireplace, and it's a beautiful fire, but you feel the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
But you could take a picture of that and put it on one of these beautiful new TVs today, and you'd see that beautiful fire,
right.
but you wouldn't feel the warmth. And she said, when you truly met him, and you know better than anybody because
right.
you spent every day with him, the warmth that he projected on anyone that came into contact, whether you were the janitor, or like I said, I interviewed his barber.
Mm-hmm.
His barber said this also. And his barber started to cry when he was talking about how much he loved him and how much he felt welcome to him. But that was it. He was the first one in at these events. It didn't matter how sick he was or how he was feeling. He made it to these events. And he made it on time, and he'd stay until basically the last guy was out, and then they shut the lights off.
Right.
It didn't matter his schedule. He would make time for everybody.
Yes, he would. And, too, it didn't. He was often in a lot of pain because of the leg brace he had to wear because of his polio, and he would push through the pain and stay until the last minute, like you said, and would never go to a banquet or some other important event without greeting all the serving people, many of whom knew him by name, and he would know them by name, and they would, often with some of the Spanish-speaking serving people in places, he would converse with them.
In their language.
Yes, in their
language.
And talk to them. About the only language he never really mastered was Polish, and I know that was a sadness for him because we have such a large Polish population here. But he really, again, his well aware of his own role and the importance of the position he held and the importance of the office— he never let that change who he was as a person. And there was never any sort of personal glorification or, again, there was nothing narcissistic or self-serving about anything he did. And, you know, I want to tell you a quick little miracle story. I was giving a talk at an event last week, and a doctor came up to me and he said, you know, I need to just tell you quickly this story. He had been named in a lawsuit because he was part of a surgical team, and the outcome was not good for the particular patient. So he was named as part of this lawsuit. And he said, you know, the patient's family knew the risk they were assuming when they asked us to do the surgery. They asked us to go ahead with it anyway, and we did. And again, the outcome wasn't good. So this case had dragged on, I think he had told me, 8 years this case had been dragging on. And he took his wife and his children to the Cardinal's wake. He said, we wound up having to go very, very late. You know, the wake went all night long. So he was there at about midnight, he said. So I had a couple of minutes, he said, you know, with the Cardinal kind of alone by his casket. And I said, if there's anything you can do to help with this, would you please, please help me? He said the next morning at 8 a.m., his phone rings and it's his lawyer. And his lawyer said to him, in 30 years of practicing law, I have never once seen this happen. You and you alone have been dropped from the case. So from the lawsuit, he had been dropped from the lawsuit. And he said, I just had to share that with you because he said, there is no explanation. My lawyer said, I have no idea why they dropped you and not everybody else. But he just felt in his heart of hearts that was Cardinal George's intercession. So grateful to him. So I'm sure you heard many similar stories when you were interviewing everyone for this documentary.
I have, and I've got a couple myself. Father Barron, when he was rector at St. Mary of the Lake, said to me when Cardinal George was buried recently, you know, he'd been recently buried, he says, Mike, you can go and pray to him. Go pray to him. He's with the Lord. He says, he's seeing him face to face every day, all the time. So ask him for intercession. And I, you know, getting the Old Testament's one of the things that I'm praying for every day. But I pray to him for his intercession. Two things. One, we had endured, and I shot outdoors when I interviewed yourself, Bishop Papraki, Pat McCaskey, and Dennis McNamara at Monday.
Right. No, we had a beautiful day that day.
We
remember
it. A beautiful couple hours, because prior to that, we had a whole week of rain, and that was on the 13th of October, which is the 100th anniversary of Fatima's Miracle of the Sun. So I was with Father Grezik in Libertyville for a rosary at 9 o'clock in the morning. When we were done with that at about 9:45, the clouds were still there. It was overcast, and it had been overcast for the whole week.
Right.
And I said to Mike, I said, boy, I was hoping for some better weather. He says, it doesn't look good. I said, I have one last trick up my sleeve. On my way over to the seminary, I stopped at Marytown for the Blessed Sacrament. I said, hey, look, buddy, this show's it's your show. Could you talk to the big guy? Could we get some weather, please? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want this. It's beautiful. It's fall day.
Yeah, and you only had that crew for a very limited amount of time. I remember this.
We had to, and I'm like, I picked that location because it was the colors were changing. It was October on the lake. It was beautiful. So I went in there. As soon as I got to Mundelein, they're like, where have you been? Like, they were yelling at me for being late. I said, hey, I'm the star of the show. I'll get here when I want. And I got there, and basically I said I was praying for better weather. Bishop Papraki was a little late, but as he walked down the stairs, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was perfect.
My goodness.
And I interviewed the three of you guys, and Dennis McNamara had to wait, and there was a picture that was taken of me and Pat McCaskey. Behind us is a beam of light coming down from the sky, and it's in four pictures, so it isn't, and this is an iPhone, so it's got time lapse. This beam of light is coming down in front of a tree that's an evergreen, like a pine tree, that looks like a Roman cross.
Wow.
So that happened. And then after we were done, the weather turned crappy again for the next 2 days. We had a monsoon on Saturday.
Wow.
And then the other thing was when we were done filming the last day with Colleen at the Meyer Center, there was a brick behind her that says, your friends will tell the story of my life. Now, I don't know where that came from, but
Isn't
it was a brick
incredible?
In a bookcase.
It
said, your friends
incredible?
Will tell the story of my life. It was right next to a statue that she said was Cardinal George's statue. It was a gift to him.
So
that brick... So those are two things that she says he's got a sense of humor.
Well,
so
Mike, even being part of this project, I'm thrilled that you've completed it and that you're going to be airing this. Where will it air again? And
on Shalom World Television.
Shalom World Television.
It'll be online, and it'll be on Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday. Okay, terrific. And we'll be posting more about that as the the specifics come together.
Yes.
And Mike, I hope that you'll come back then when we have everything finalized and,
yes,
and we'll have more information for our listeners. Again, this has been Mary Fiorito. I've been sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. God bless. Have a beautiful day.
The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say?